Blog Talk Radio.
Take a deep breath and hold it
and then I want you to just exhale slowly. Many of us get up in the morning and we start our day. Some people work the night shift. Some people work day shift, but we go about our day and we're dealing with problems and situations and other personalities, and we're going through the day. And then in the evening, by this time of the evening is generally most people's unwinding time. For us here on Central Time, it's already 9 o'clock at night. So many of us probably have been home for a couple of hours, had time to get dinner prepared and, you know, talk with the family and just relax. Some of us on the Pacific Coast time, it's literally only 7 o'clock. Some of you just got out of evening traffic. So I'm just going to tell you, just to take a deep breath, just get ready to receive tonight. Get ready to hear what God has to say to you. Get ready to allow his words, just to begin to meditate on his words, and allow his words to begin to transform you from the inside out. I want tonight for you to really hear his words, because at the end of the day, this is not about Coach D. It's not about my opinions. It's not about what I think, but it's about the word of God. And I honestly believe that the world is in trouble right now, and I'm talking about the church. It's because nobody wants to read the word no more. Nobody's reading the word. People are just giving their personal opinions. They're giving their personal experiences, and they're not reading the word of God. And so I've talked to many believers who say, you know, believers, I'm going to say, they say they're Christian, quote, unquote. And they don't know the word. They don't know the word of God. You know, they ask for prayer, and they say they're praying for you and everything. But how can we really effectively pray for others if we don't even know what we're praying for? How can we effectively pray for others when we don't even know the word of God that we could stand on? Because God hears his word. We have to speak his word back to him. He watches over his word to perform it, right, so that it doesn't return to him void. So we need to start spending more time. And this is not a show of condemnation. This is not, you know, this is not a show of guilt. This is a show of the word. Let the word begin to convict us. Let the word begin to guide us and lead us. A lot of people don't want to hear the word. I'm not surprised that people don't want to hear the word. Why? Because the word holds you accountable. It holds you accountable. It causes you to take action. It causes you to make decisions that you to clean things up. You cannot stay in the same place. You cannot stay in the same place and be under the word. You know, you can't be under the word and keep doing what you're doing, because the word comes to convict. And so what a lot of people do is they'll allow themselves, they'll allow the enemy to condemn them. I had a discussion, and I don't get into debates about the word of God, because there is no debate. The word is the word. Either you believe the word or you don't believe the word. But I did get into a discussion with a young lady because someone had read a scripture. And because that person read the scripture, everybody wanted to tell that person that they were being judgmental and that they were condemning, you know, and all this. But really, my question was to her, did the person condemn or did the word of God convict? Did the person condemn or did the word of God convict? And really what it is the word of God convicts. But when you're not true to your convictions, you allow the enemy to step in. Because, see, God said he didn't send his son to condemn the world. There's therefore no more condemnation to what those of us that are in Christ Jesus. So because there's no condemnation to us that's in Christ Jesus, that means that his word convicts us. And what convict? Convict is the pricking of the spirit. It's the thing that says, don't do that. Well, you know better. You better change the way you're thinking. So we're gonna get into this tonight. I'm not gonna delay any longer. I'm going to ask you to bring out your Bible and get you some pen, get you a paper. We're going to take some notes. This is not an emotional. I cannot minister to your emotions on tonight. There are a place and time for that. There's times where God wants us to get excited. He wants us to be enthusiastic. He wants us to minister to those emotions. But tonight, I'm not going to minister to your soul tonight. I'm going to minister to the Spirit of God that's inside of you, amen, because we got to get some things right. We got to understand what we are and what we're made up of so that we can begin to, because we're saying, even saying things as Christians, you know, we're saying certain things that we should not even be saying as believers because it's not biblically factual. It's not biblically factual. So we need to get in line. We need to line up, get in order. We need some fine-tuning, amen. So we're going to get to it on tonight. And I entitled tonight's message, Oh My Soul. And why I was thinking about that is because we function a lot from our soul. And we'll understand that in a little bit. But we do. You know, we're emotional. You know, we're emotional. I'm noticing in this day and age that we as Christians, we get offended easily. We're always offended about something. Somebody offended us. Somebody said something to us that we didn't like. You know, and so we get offended. We go by our emotions. You know, we see something that, you know, that we like. Guys, you know, you see her. Oh, she bad. She's sexy. She's this. She's that. Women. Oh, look at him. He got a nice car. He got this. And, you know, and we're drawn by our five senses. We, you know, we're operating the five senses, and that's all part of our soul. Those are the emotions, you know, the feelings, anger. We're getting angry. We see a lot of rage in the world today. You know, just simply driving down the highway, you'll see road rage. You know, you see rage when you go to restaurants. I mean, just we see so much emotion. So we're definitely people that's operating from our soul, and then our soul dictates the movement of our body, amen, but it doesn't do anything for our spirit, because the Spirit of God only knows God. The Spirit of God knows the Word of God. The Spirit of God knows the things that's dealing with the spirit. You know, it doesn't deal with the flesh. It doesn't understand things of the flesh. It doesn't understand all these other things, so it's strictly dealing with God. So tonight, it's going to be my intent and purpose, according to the Spirit of God, to break down who we are and what we are so that we can start understanding why we fight so hard in certain areas, so that we can begin to understand why we're making certain decisions, so that we can begin to understand maybe some of us are not being transformed, and we don't understand why, because we quote the scripture all the time, but we don't understand why we're not being transformed. We don't understand why we're still battling the same addictions. We don't understand why we're battling the same behavior. We don't understand why we're battling the same mindset. We're going through some things that we keep going through. You know how they say, I keep going through the same lesson, and I just keep bumping my head. I keep bumping my head, and I think we need to be able to understand, because I'm a firm believer that when you can see the picture, when you can see this picture, and I know the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, so if don't nobody else get nothing from the night, I'm telling you I'm getting it. But when you can see a picture, it makes it easier to do. When you can see a picture, it makes it easier to do. Proof of that, a lot of us use GPA nowadays. You know, we got Google's map, we got the Waze, and we got all these little things that get us to point from A, point A to point B. And then you remember, I'm telling my age, back in the day, we didn't have that. We have what they call the Thomas Guide. And the Thomas Guide was a book. And in this book, it had every street. It had every, you know, every crevice, everywhere you need to go, depending. You know, if you had the Thomas Guide for California, and then it would break it down by county, and then it would break it down by cities, you know, and so forth. But you have this book, and you have to know, you know, you go to the content, and it says, and you say, I'm trying to look for this address, and you would look for the address, and then it says go to, you know, it said go to, on the map, you're going to go to B12 or C43, and as you got up down over there, it would show you on the map. And still even there, there was really no picture. We did it, but it was no picture. It wasn't easy. You know, you still have to figure out. And oftentimes, where if you were going to visit someone or it was a business trip, they would give you landmarks. Well, if you go, you're going to go so far here, and you're going to know when to turn because you're going to see the cemetery. And you're going to make a right at the cemetery. I'm laughing because I'm about to be, you're going to make a right at the cemetery, and then you're going to go two blocks down, and you're going to make a quick left, and you'll know because you'll see a greenhouse on the corner. That's how we used to give instructions. Glory to God, we don't. modern technology, we do not have to give instructions like that no more. All we got to do is type the address in our smartphone, and it pop up. And depending on what map you use, it'll show you the building. It'll show you the house. Amen? And something about seeing that picture, something about seeing the direct direction, something about visualizing that makes it so much easier to get to. We can get to it. We're there. It didn't take no whole lot of struggle. Now people's phones talk to them. Make a left here. Go here. Make a right. You're going to go 1.3 miles and you're going to make a U-turn. So it talks, we're getting a visual, right? So tonight, I believe by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get a visual on what God is trying to show us tonight. And I think the first thing that God is really trying to get us to understand on tonight, he understands we've been struggling. He understands that we're not, that, you know, that we can't see what we can't do what we can't see. He understands that some of us are going through a roller coaster, a merry-go-round, should I say. We're going through merry-go-round. He understands that some of us are believing for some things that haven't manifested, and we don't know why. Lord, why haven't it? Why haven't this thing come yet? And so what he's trying to get us to understand that when we connect to him thoroughly, when we're totally connected with him, first of all, we're going to trust him. No matter what, we're going to trust him. Second of all, when we're totally connected to God, all we want is what God wants. And I've been preaching this for 3 weeks, but all we want is what God, that's all I want. And if God wants me to be married, then guess what? I'll be married. If God wants me to, you know, if he wants me to be a millionaire, then guess what? I'll be a millionaire. But I just want what God wants for me. And that don't mean sit around and just, okay, Lord, I'm just going to wait on you, you know, to do whatever it is. It means staying in tune with him, listening to him, because God speaks to us. He really does. And sometimes he's trying to tell you something, and it may be 3 o'clock in the morning, and he's telling you to get up because he's trying to speak to you. He's trying to give you a plan. He's trying to tell you where to go. He's trying to give you the other piece to the puzzle that you're missing. But a lot of times we say, oh, Lord, not now. Oh, I'm so tired. It's still dark outside. I just went to bed an hour ago. And we'll roll over on God. We'll miss whatever it is he's trying. So some of us, the reason why we haven't seen the manifestation of our prayers or of the things we're believing God for, a lot of times is that when he tried to talk to us, we was too busy sleeping, or we was too busy watching a show, or we was too busy entertaining. We was too busy, and we missed out on what God needed to tell us. Amen? That's not my message on tonight. But take that. That one's for free. Write that down. Take notes. But we're going to get to the message on tonight. Glory to God. So now let's get to the message on tonight. Let's get back to the message at hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, again, I told you, get your books, get your Bibles, get your pens, take notes. It's going to be important. This is not just a word to hear, but this word, we got to be doers of the word. And when God has given us a word, it doesn't, see, don't get caught up on the messenger. You know, the messenger may use double negatives. The messenger may, you know, speak slang. The messenger may be too skinny or too fat. The messenger may be black. The messenger may be Japanese. The messenger may be white. And a lot of times we get caught up on the messenger that we miss the message. So tonight my prayer is that you stay steadfast on the word, steadfast on the message. Hear this, judge the spirit by the spirit, hallelujah. Don't just get caught up on whether I didn't pause the right way, or whether I sound mundane. Maybe it was too bland. Maybe she should have peeked here and meddled there. Don't get caught up on that. Just get caught up on the message. Hear the word of God on tonight. Amen. So again, the message is titled, Oh My Soul. And this message came from a place because I believe I was dealing with the sick soul. And I believe that because I was dealing with the sick soul and didn't fully understand the position of the soul, it was making it very difficult for me to come out of a dark place. Amen? Some of us been there. Some of us been in those dark places, and we couldn't understand why we couldn't get out, why we couldn't get out of the dark place. We couldn't understand why things were as such. we couldn't see the enemy. Every time God got a word, the enemy will utilize something to cause distraction. I'm going to ask y'all to pray right now. I'm just going to ask you to pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, let me just stop and say, Father God, we just thank you on tonight, Lord. Father, you are welcome in the studio on tonight. We thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for the rhema word. We thank you for the revelation knowledge. We thank you, Father God, that you're bringing forth a word, Lord, that will transform us, Father God. Father God, transform us by the renewing of our mind. Father God, I thank you that this word on tonight will heal the soul, Father. Lord, that we will no longer walk around with sick souls. But Father God, that we will begin to be good stewards over what you've given us. Many of us don't know what our responsibilities are. Father God, we don't know how the body, the soul, and the spirit connect. We don't understand what each function is, Father. So, Lord, we're trusting you on tonight to make it clear, Father God. Make it clear, Father God, so that we could understand about the two truths. Write the vision. Write it down. Make it plain so that those who hear it, those who see it, can run with it. Father God, we want to be able to embrace this word, Father God. And we want it to not just be a word heard, but Father God, we want it to be a word lived in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get back to it. So, again, I was saying about, I was thinking about sick souls and how we could get into a dark place of the soul. You ever heard that term, I'm in a dark place of the soul? And we could get stuck in dark places. And sometimes those dark places are triggered from life events, situations, circumstances that we experience, the death of a loved one, a broken relationship, a loss of wages, whatever those things are that could drive us into a dark place. And it's called a sick soul. You got a hole in your soul because our soul thinks, we think that something's supposed to be replaced there, that it's something missing. And all the time, the only thing that's missing generally is God, because God is the only one that could fulfill it. It's not the things. It's not the money. It's not the home. It's not the sex. It's not the man. It's not the woman, but it's God. And a lot of times we're looking for things on the outside to heal the things on the inside. And unfortunately, it don't work like that. Amen. It doesn't work like that. So that's why I believe that he led me in this direction for tonight's message. And I think this message is going to bless you because it's definitely going to bless me. Let's first understand that we are human beings. We all understand that we're human. And there's no mistake in that. But humans are unique because they're unlike any other creature. They're unlike any other creature. They don't have, we're the only ones that have a spirit. We're comprised of three parts, and I thought that was very unique that God had put us in three parts, because we think about the Trinity. We think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When we think about it, remember, God, we are truly created in the image of God. He created us in his image. So why would we not be three parts? Understanding our three parts and the function of each will help us also be able to better understand the Trinity. So once we understand our function and how we function in three parts, it'll make more sense even when we're trying to understand the Word of God, when we're trying to understand God, and when we're trying to understand the Son of God. You know, we hear it's referred to as the living Word, God in the flesh, and then when we're trying to understand the Spirit of God. So all of this is going to help us understand that. I believe the message that God wants us to get tonight is not just understanding our three parts, but understand that when our soul is not healthy, it will no doubt dictate the other parts of us, not the spirit, but the body. Amen? So let's start with the first part of it. I'm going to start with the first part, which to me is the most important part, and that's the spirit man, or you might hear some refer to it as the pneuma. And that's P-N-E-U-M-A. It is God-driven and focused. It knows nothing else but the things of the Spirit. It knows it's God-conscious. The Spirit, as our innermost part, is the inner organ possessing God-consciousness that we may contact God. That's when we're in God, where we're in connection with God, when we're in sync with God, when we're in connection with God, we our spirit, that he's ministering to our spirit, and it's bringing our spirit to life. Our spirit becomes renewed. You know, when we're in the Word of God, when we're meditating on the Word of God, when we're in prayer, it's our spirit being revived and renewed. So that's the part that connects us with God. According to John chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So right there is telling us that we can't just go to God any kind of way. We cannot go to God in the carnal mind, because we got to be, if we're going to worship God, we got to be able to worship him in spirit and truth. It's his spirit inside of us that we're communing with him. It's our spirit, his spirit inside of us that we're worshiping him. So he's saying it's important that we got to feed our spirit, and our spirit is fed by the word of God. Our spirit is fed by the word of God. And I'm saying that and repeating that because, yes, you could pray. Yes, we could cry. But at the end of the day, it's the word of God. And that's what a lot of people are not doing. They're not spending time in their word. So if you're not spending time in your word, you're not edifying your spirit. In essence, you could have a spiritual death. Because if you're not spending time in the word and you're not edifying your spirit, guess what? You're bound to operate in the flesh. Because if your spirit is weak, then guess what? Your flesh will take over. Your flesh will dictate. Your soul, your emotions will dictate your decision. Romans chapter 1 and 9, it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. So again, it's showing us that it's important for us to make sure that we're renewing our spirit. It's important for us to understand that our relationship with God is spiritual. It's spiritual. Have you ever seen a powerless Christian? And I'm sure, I know I have. Sometimes I've been that powerless Christian out of ignorance. It's saying, okay, I believe there's a God. I believe he had a son. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. But I'm powerless. I'm powerless over sin. I'm powerless to be able to not operate in sin. You know, some people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, I'm doing this, but God knows my heart. He's a forgiving God. But God knows our heart. He definitely knows our heart. But God also tells us that he has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to walk in righteousness, to walk holy. He's given us that ability. And so it's not going to just be okay that, yeah, God knows and God's forgiven, because he's given us the ability to not have to be walking and operating in sin. You know, and so if we're operating and walking in that sin, I would believe that it's because we are not spending enough time in his word. We're not giving him enough time. Amen. And so our spirit is crucial. It's crucial to our living a holy life. It's crucial to our commune with God. It's crucial to our eternity. The spirit is us. I mean, it's us. It's crucial. And so we need to make sure we're feeding our spirit. Now I'm going to get to the body. Let's get to the body, because I'm doing the spirit first. It's important. I'm going to get to the body. But remember, tonight's show is really about our sick soul and how do we get healed from that sick soul. But we got to understand who we are. We got to understand what's operating in us. And so we just found out that the first part is the spirit, and that's that inner part, the inner organ. Okay, then the body is our external part. It's the outer organ possessing world consciousness that we make contact with material world. The body exists in and contacts the tangible things. our body is what allows us to operate in the five senses. You know, as I'm talking now, I see my hands moving. You know, my hands are moving. Let's say the hands, you know, that's the touch. That's one of our senses. You know, my body, when I think the eyes, you know, I'm thinking my nose, my mouth, my ears, all that's the body. That's the outer part, and it allows us, again, to be tangible of the material world using our five physical senses. Amen? The body is visible, external part of our being, and it contains the soul. So the body, if you think of the body as a house, the body is a house, and that body is housing two things for us as humans. It's housing the deep within the Spirit of God, and it's housing our soul. Amen? And so the body is the outer portion, and it houses. It's what the Bible refers to as our temple. And we're gonna even understand that tonight, why it's so important. Why is it so important that we take care of this temple? We'll get it tonight. See, because a lot of times we hear the word, and we hear it, and or we hear people preach it, and we really don't understand it because we won't sit down and meditate on it. We won't do our research. We won't flip through the pages. We won't ask God for guidance. Lord, what is it that you really want me to get from this word? Is it, you know, what am I supposed to do with this information? You know, we get a lot of information. What am I supposed to do, Lord, with this information? How do I take this knowledge? Because it's just a lot of knowledge. How do I take this knowledge and apply it? Just said this last week. Because if I've got all this knowledge but I don't apply it, then it's not wisdom. And our whole goal is to operate in wisdom. You know, you could go to school. You could learn the orientation of something. Whether you could, the orientation is how it functions and why it functions. And then you got the theory of how it came about. So those are just, it's information, it's knowledge. And then after you get this knowledge, 4 years of knowledge, you get a degree. Amen? And so we would like to think that we pay $150,000, we get this information, and we get a degree. Education is important, and I believe you should be educated. I believe that you should invest back in yourself, whether that's a university or trade school or certification program, whatever. But knowledge is important. But knowledge is only as important as its application. So if you go to college and you spend all the 4 years and you get all this knowledge, you get the orientation, you get the theory, but if you can't put it into play, and which is the practical, if you can't put it into play, it's no good. It's just information. And I say that because I've spoken this before. I am a human resource professional. I've been doing human resources for years. And I interviewed and I have sat with a lot of people. And I've interviewed people with masters. And I've interviewed people with PhDs. And I've interviewed people with bachelors and associates. And guess what I'm finding? Yes, there are some people that have taken that knowledge and they applied it. They did whatever they needed to do to take the knowledge so that it would manifest and it became practical for them. They're using it. And because they're using it, they're probably making good money in their field. Doctors, if you're a practicing physician, guess what? You're practicing the knowledge that you receive. So you're applying it. And guess what? You're probably making pretty good money because you're applying that knowledge. But I believe you me when I tell you, I have more people that sit in my office with degrees that can't get a job. They got all this information, but they haven't figured out or they haven't been able to apply it. So what they end up doing, they end up taking mediocre jobs. They end up taking jobs that's general labor. So they got this paper, orientation and theory, that says, based on this knowledge, you should be making $60,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. But yet still, they are actually functioning as forklift drivers. Nothing against forklift drivers. Nothing against working the cashier at Wendy's. Nothing against that. Those are jobs. Those are jobs. But what, does it make any logical sense to spend $150,000 $50 to get a job that you only going to be making $20,000 a year. Do the math. Do the math on it. So, again, this is not to tear down, but I want you to think. This is the provoked thought for you to understand where we're at, what we're doing, and why did I go there? So I was thinking about the body and the five senses. The body is invisible. We talk about the body being the visible, eternal part of our being, and it contains the soul. The body teaches that the believer's body is not their own. So it says that the body is owned by God and is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Again, your body is your house, is your temple. According to John 14, we're going to go to verse 15 through 17. It says, if you love me, who's me? This is Jesus. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So first of all, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask my Father that he will give you another helper to be with you forever, which is the Holy Spirit. That's what he left behind for us, to help us. The Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance. It helps us not to go and do things that we know we shouldn't be doing. It helps us. The Holy Spirit is what helps us not to sin. Why? Our body is flesh. Our body is sin. But it's the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us, when properly cared for, will care for us. It's the Holy Spirit living within us, when properly cared for, will care for us. Amen? So John goes on to say, in 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So we know him. Why? Because we're born-again believers. We're born-again believers. And when you're born again, when you confess, when you believe, when you've been baptized, you activate the Spirit of God inside of you. And he's what's going to teach us. He's what's going to guide us. He's what's going to deliver us. And when you get in tune to the Holy Spirit, when you get in tune to him, he will guide you. It's, you know, the Spirit discernment, that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of discernment tells you, it'll tell you, ooh, you know what, I see that. Or the Spirit will provoke you, it'll tell you, you know, you were just getting ready to go somewhere, it'll tell you, I don't go there. And if you're obedient to it, you don't go. So we know that it's really leading and guiding us. And as I'm speaking this, it's bringing back to my remembrance that just even last week that the Holy Spirit was sharing these things with us. Why is he being redundant? Why is God being redundant? Because he wants us to get it. He don't want us to keep struggling in the same area. He don't want us to keep falling down and not, you know, and not truly being able to get back up. He don't want us to build habits. You know, all of us are going to have a dark moment. All of us will experience wilderness. But the goal is to experience it, go through it. It was never meant for us to lay down in it and stay. Jesus. So we don't want to stay there. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that through spending more time in his word. We're going to edify that spirit, the Holy Spirit. We want to edify it. We want to strengthen it so it could do the job that he left it. He said he's leaving it as a helper. The Holy Spirit to help us. And it wants to do its job to help us. But we got to be able to do our job too. Because if you had a child, you wouldn't have a child and not feed it. Your job as a parent, is to feed your child, is to care for your child, is to nurture your child. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility. Romans 8, let's see here. Second, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians says in 3:16 through 17, it tells us, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwell in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Whoa. Never thought about it like that. I mean, that's the word. But it says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. We are that temple. We are the temple of God, where his Holy Spirit dwells. And just think about it. I mean, let's just keep it real. God, when you look at it and when you read the word, the word is, it makes it more real. Because when you read in that word, now you can see. You know, when you read that word and it says, man, I'm the temple of God. And it says, anybody that destroys the temple, God will destroy him. So you're thinking, this is my temple, and my temple houses the Holy Spirit. And some of us, what are we doing with our temple? Many of us, our temples are not healthy. Whether it's a physical or whether it's a spiritual, we are not healthy. Things that we have put into our temple, and I can hear people say, well, you know, I exercise and I take my vitamins and, you know, I don't eat red meat. Oh, Jesus. Don't you know you could destroy your temple even if you're eating good? That's just a start. That's just a start. But the same person that's saying I'm exercising and I get up every morning and run 5 miles and I do this and this and this, but that same person could be in fornication. Or you got the person that said, well, I'm married, so I ain't fornicating. But then, what else are you doing with your temple? What are you subjecting your temple to? So we, our temple is important. He's saying it's important. It is the dwelling place. It's not even what he has said to us. If you didn't get it, is that this is our bodies are not our own. It's not our own. We are just stewards. Do you understand what a steward is? It's not an ownership, but it's kind of like a caregiver. You're caring for something, and he's given us these bodies to care for, these temples. And we're supposed to care for them. Why? Because he's dwelling inside. His Holy Spirit is. And so we're supposed to be caring for our bodies, not just physically, but we're supposed to be caring for our souls. Amen? Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go down. We were just at chapter 6. Let's go down to chapter 6. And he's saying it. It's redundant. The word is very repetitive. And repetition, remember we said repetition? So if we repetitiously hear the word, then the word, hearing the word will become easy. As hearing the word becomes easy, hearing the word becomes a pleasure. As hearing the word becomes a pleasure, then hearing the word will happen often. As hearing the word happens often, woo! Hearing the word becomes a habit. So now we have a habit of hearing the word. We have a habit of walking in the word. We have a habit of feeding our spirit. And if we're feeding our spirit, the word of God promises us that if we walk in the spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you can't be in the spirit and do something in the flesh. Get it? You can't serve two masters. So if I'm walking in the spirit, it's going to be hard for me to be walking in the spirit and cussing somebody out. If I cuss somebody out, that means that I ain't in the spirit. If I'm driving and I ain't in the spirit and I flip somebody off, guess what? I ain't in the spirit. If I'm in the spirit and I tell somebody I love them, then I'm in the spirit. If I'm in the spirit if I'm supposed to be in the spirit and I tell you I love you and I want to sleep with you and you ain't my wife or you ain't my husband, I ain't in the spirit. That's it. It's just that simple. And the word of God shares that with us. Again, maybe that's why a lot of people don't want to read the word of God, because the word of God, it'll read you. Especially if you're out of order, it's going to read you. It's going to tell you what you're supposed to be doing. It's going to tell you what you're not supposed to be doing. Amen. It reads us. And it's no respecter of person. I don't care if you're an apostle. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're an evangelist. I don't care if you're a preacher, a pastor, a minister, a prophet. We all are subjected to the word of God. All of us are subjected to the word of God. We got to follow the word of God. And we have to follow it even more. Because the world is looking at it. And somebody made a comment just the other day, and it was on Sunday. I went to church, and my pastor said, you know, it's hard to tell. And nowadays, it really is hard to tell who's a Christian because we all look alike. We all look alike. It's hard to really tell. And when she said that, that's the truth. We don't want to hear stuff like that, but that's the truth. You know, we act in life, we dress in life, we dance in life, we go to the same places to hang out life, and it's hard to tell. And so I remember a few years ago, and I was telling my spiritual mentor, I was saying, you know, we were talking about going into environments, and I was in disagreement with them. You know, I'm pretty strong-headed. God's working with me. He ain't done with me yet. But I was like, no, I don't agree with you on that because I think that, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes and the pimps and the this and the adulterers and this and that. So I don't think there's any reason why, you know, believers should not be able to go certain places. And it's not that we should not be able to go certain places, but what it should do is when we walk into those places, the atmosphere is supposed to change. We're supposed to be the changing agent. We're supposed to be the light in dark situations. And if you're going into dark situations and you become dark too, then you don't need to be in that situation. If you become a part of the environment, then you don't need to be in that environment because you're supposed to be the light in dark places. Supposed to be the light in dark places. And so that's what Jesus was. When Jesus went into those places, things changed. Jesus is the light, and the light what changes things. So every time Jesus walked into a situation, he was either healing somebody, he was ministering somebody, he was raising people from the dead, he was casting out demons, he was, he was calling people to be delivered from their bondage, their sin. And every time he went into a situation and he ministered and he did what he did and he became the light, and he gave revelation, and he did this. And what he was at the end, in most cases, he was at the end was, go and sin no more. He never said, well, you're going to hell because you sinned or you sinned. He always spoke words of life. He always spoke, he spoke truth. But it was something about the truth that set free. But I believe that when he spoke the truth and the people was able to receive it and people was able to be set free from it, it's because of him, because he was the light. He didn't go into a situation and become the situation and then want to try to tell people what they should have been doing. He just didn't do it. He was the difference. You know, have you ever seen somebody, and I know we've all seen people, have you ever seen somebody that walk in the room, and when they walk in the room, they didn't have to say nothing? It was something about their presence. It was something about their spirit. It was something about them. You didn't know, couldn't quite put your hand on it. But when they walked into the environment changed. You noticed them. And that's who Jesus was. He walked into an environment, and the environment began to bow down to his presence. Everybody wanted to know who he was. Everybody wanted to know, you know, who he was, and if they already knew who he was, they just wanted to be by him. They just wanted to get close to him. I don't care if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But I just gotta get a part of him. And we're no way, I'm not saying that we are Jesus and that we're God, but what I'm saying is that when we walk in environments, we're supposed to be able to change situations. And what are we doing to do that? Amen. Now we're going to get to the last part, and this is the main part of tonight's show, but all of it's been a blessing. So now we understand that we are made up of three parts. We understand that we have a spirit, and the spirit is the God in us. We understand that we have a body, and the body is what houses the spirit. Amen? And now let's get to our souls. So now we have a spirit, we have a body, and we have a soul. So the soul perceives things in the psychological realm. And a lot of times, where is our battlefield? Our battlefield as humans is the mind. And that's where the enemy attacks us. Most of us spend the majority of our time in warfare in the mind, dealing with those thoughts, dealing with the memories. You know, that's the soul holds the thoughts, the memories, the emotions. And we're dealing with that constantly. Everything that happens to us from the time we are birthed in this earth to the time we die is stored in our database. The brain is like a database, a memory. You know, you think about the computer has a memory, you know, and I'm not going to act like I'm that darn smart because I'm not. So I can't even tell you how fast the brain is or how much information the brain could receive, but I know it's in the billions, okay? So we got all this information. Think about it. Some of us could go back to when we were one, and at 1 year old, we could might remember a certain experience, you know, or something. And so some of us could go back and we could remember when, you know, we could remember when we went to the grocery store with grandma and the lady gave me a sucker, and we could kind of remember what that sucker tastes like. I can remember, I couldn't have probably been no more than about four. And I remember there was a doctor's office in the town that I was born in and spent most of my life in until we moved to the suburbs. But I remember my mom would go to this doctor's office, and it was a house. It was a house on Wilmington Boulevard, I believe. And I would go, and this doctor's office was a house, and I remember the smell. As a little girl, I could remember the smell in there, and I remember I didn't like the smell. And the lady, the receptionist, would always give me and my brother some gum, these little chiclet packs. And I hated the gum because the gum tasted like medicine. It tasted medicinal. It was black licorice. I hate black licorice to this day. But the gum tasted like black licorice. And I remember I would chew it and I'd just be like, ooh, it was horrible. But I couldn't have been no more than four, but I remember that. So we got all these memories. We got good memories, and we also have bad memories, okay? So all of that is in our soul. And the problem with that is that when those memories, if we remember them, because some people block them out, but they're still there. Just because you block them out, or let's say when you got spiritually attuned, you chose to cast down thoughts and memories, but they're there. And so those memories, if we don't process them properly, and if we don't understand who we are in Christ, those memories will torment us. Those memories leave what they call a hole in the soul, a sick soul. So many of us is running around with sick souls. Many of us are broken. We've been broken by life situations and life circumstances. We've been broken behind other people's nonsense. We've been broken behind our own nonsense. We've been broken because of bad choices. We've been broken because of bad choices of other people. We just got all these different memories and these different things in our soul, and so our soul becomes sick. Can you imagine that? It's almost like you eating, and every day you eat, but you can't eliminate. You having a problem, eliminate. And what you think is going to happen if you continue to eat and you continue to get full, but you can't eliminate that stuff. That stuff builds up inside of you, and it's going to make you sick. It's going to make you sick. It's going to start tearing away at your organs. It's going to start causing digestive issues. It's going to start causing colon issues. If we're not careful to make sure we get cleansed properly, if we're not careful to make sure that we that we start eating the right food so that we can eliminate. If we're not careful, then we'll start getting this thing called cancer, and cancer begins to eat away at your internal things, and it will cause a physical death. And the same thing with our soul. If we don't take care of our soul, and that's done through the spirit man, if we don't take care of our soul, if we don't process through some of the darkness, some of the things we have to experience, then it begins to eat away at us. What does it look like? A sick soul looks like depression. A sick soul looks like anxiety. A sick soul looks like some other thing. We call it sick souls looking like mental illness. Now, if you're dealing with any of that, this is not a hit against you. There is a solution. There is a deliverance. There is a healing. And it's called Jesus. It's called the Word, the living Word. And the Word begins to come in. And that Word begins to come in, and it begins to transform us. This is not just a coded opinion. The Word, it does everything. God has many names. He has many names, and it does everything. And so whatever you're going through, there's something in the Word that could tell you how to go through it, how to get out of it. The soul perceives things in a psychological realm. In fact, in Greek, the original language of the New Testament, the word, the soul, is psyche. Remember I said that? Which is also the root word of psychology. So the soul in Greek is psyche. And we hear that. You know, you hear this psyche, the soul. The soul could be dangerous. If we're not careful, if we feed in the wrong things, it could be dangerous. You know, I think about it. When I think about psyche, the soul, you got psychic readers. You got psychic this and psychic that. And honey, let me tell you, that's not where you want to be. You want to be connected to your spirit. You want to be connected to the one true living God. You ain't got time to be caught up in the psychic situations of the turning of the universe and the waves and the sea motion of the waves and numerology and all this other stuff. See, when you start messing around in the psychic world, you start getting into dark places of the soul. And sometimes we're not consciously participating in those things. Sometimes we're unconsciously participating in those things. We run around and talking about we want soulmate. Do you really want a soulmate? Because I want something eternal. I don't want no soulmate. I don't want no soul ties. I want something that's eternal. I want something that's connected to the Holy Spirit of God. What does that look like? What does that look like? I don't need to be sick. That's probably the problem. You know, we've been connecting to people that wasn't ours to connect with. So we've been getting these soul ties, and we thought it was a soulmate, and we just all caught up because that's some cute stuff. That's real cute. And we'll just be so darn cute with our cute hats and our cute cliches and be on our way there. That's cute. And we got to get away from the cute stuff because the cute stuff may not be what we really need. It may not be the cute stuff that's going to feed our soul. It may not be the cute stuff that's going to sustain us. And we need to be sustained. And the only thing that could sustain us is the Holy Spirit. It's our relationship with God, which the Holy Spirit is our connection. That's the only thing that's going to sustain us. And it doesn't mean that you won't go through stuff. It doesn't mean that the storms won't come. It doesn't mean that you won't feel dark sometimes. It doesn't mean that. But it means that you have hope. It means that after the rain, the sun will shine again. It means that you get up, you brush yourself off, and you keep on stepping. It means that you can look, that there's a switch that you can click on and the light to come on. Amen. It's the hope. It's the hope. And so we want to make sure we stay connected to that hope. Our soul is our personality, who we are. With our soul, we think reason, we consider, we remember, and we wonder. We experience emotions like happiness, love, sorrow, anger, relief, and compassion. So the soul ain't just dark things, because all that feeling of love, that's the soul. But God's trying to get us to that God law. It ain't a feeling. It's a commitment. It's a knowing. But that feeling, that little butterfly, that's a feeling. You know, compassion. You know, so the soul is not a bad thing. It works in it works in its proper place. But the soul, a healthy soul, is a good thing. But the healthy soul has to have, it has to be dictated to by the Spirit. It has to be dictated to by the Spirit. So we want to make sure we have a healthy soul. We want to make sure that we're able to, you know, the soul also enables us to resolve, to choose, to make decisions. Our soul is the vessel containing our spirit. Our soul is the vessel containing our spirit. And they both are in our bodies. So when we are spiritually in tune, when we are spiritually aligned, when we have that relationship with God and we are in communion with God, as Adam was in the garden before sin, when we are in communion with God, see, we have that ability. Old Testament, they didn't have that ability because of sin. You know, and they had to go through so many rituals, and, you know, they had to, you know, they had to sacrifice doves and animals and just different things as atonement. But glory to God, he sent the ultimate atonement when he sent Jesus. So we don't have to go through all of that again. We have direct access to the throne. We don't have to, we don't have to worry about getting in his presence and dying. Back in the day, the priest had to put a bell on. They had to put a bell, and they had a rope. So they could go so far into the temple, but they couldn't go too far. But the rope was because if they got too much into the presence of God, they would pass out. It was too much. And then their partners would have to pull them out. But glory to God, we could go in. We could get straight into the presence of God. We could go in. We could commune with God. We could go in. We could talk to God. We could go in and we could have fellowship with God. We don't have to worry about, we don't have to go to somebody else to confess our sins, because we could confess them directly to God, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Glory to God. We have access. We have access. Hallelujah. And so we want to make sure that we are in the Spirit, because God's ultimate plan for us in the Spirit, God as the Spirit dwells. So we understand that. So the Spirit, God dwells. The soul, ourself dwells. We, self, the flesh, self dwells. And in the body, the physical senses dwell. So we feel stuff. We feel sensations and everything because the body, you know, our body helps us be able to operate our five senses. So it's the body. The soul is our self desires, our self greed, our self want, our emotions, you know, whether we're happy or sad. And so you kind of see now why you can't even trust your emotions. You know, you can't even trust if you really sad. You say you're sad, but are you really sad? Who told you were sad? Who told you? You were sorrowful. Who told you that you hate something or someone? Who told you that? So see, right now, learning what we're learning about the soul, we're finding out that we may not even trust our soul. Amen. But God's perfect will is, of course, the Spirit, God, which God dwells in. The soul is ourself, and the body is the physical senses dwell. God sanctifies us. I'm going to give you three things how God sanctifies us. First one, by taking possession of our spirit through regeneration, according to John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Listen to that. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Amen? That's number one. Number two, by spreading himself as the life-giving Spirit from our spirit into our souls to saturate and transform our souls. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So that's Romans. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And lastly, by enliving our mortal body through our soul and transfiguring our bodies by his life power. And that's going to be Romans, we just jot it down, Romans 8:11. And let me see what else, I'm sorry. Romans 8:11 and 13. So Romans 8:11 and 13 is going to tell us. I thought I had this up, but I did not, so forgive me. Okay, so Romans 8:11. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And then we're going to skip down to 13 that says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that's living inside of us. And so that tells me that if that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is living inside of me, not only can, like it says, that he raise our mortal bodies through his Spirit, but also he could raise some dead things within us. I believe that the Holy Spirit could, if you're dealing with sickness, the Holy Spirit can heal that. I believe God, through the Holy Spirit, can heal that. I believe that if you're dealing with addiction, the Holy Spirit could deal with that. So if he could raise Jesus from the dead, surely he could deliver you from addiction. If he could raise Jesus from the dead, surely he could heal your body. So surely we have a helper inside of us. And we have the same power that Jesus had. But we have that helper inside of us that can help us, that could guide us and lead us through this. And then lastly, we're going to go over to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go over to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to go over to verse 21. Philippians 3:21. Just say a virtual amen when you get there. 3:21. And this is lastly, our soul. "Who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Father God, we just thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. Father, we understand now that we function in three parts, Father. Father, truly we are created in your image, Father. And Father God, when we begin to understand, Father, what your purpose is for us, why you created us and how you created us, Father God, then I believe that we will have the power and the strength to walk according to your purpose in our lives, Father. So, Father, we just thank you for downloading into us this information, Father. Father God, that we will be able to take this information and that we will be able to apply it to our daily lives, Father, that we could walk in wisdom. We no longer have to walk in hurt. We no longer have to walk in offense. We no longer have to walk in and stay in darkness, Father God. But, Father God, that you've given us life and you've given life abundantly, Father God, that you left behind a comforter, a healer that will guide us and lead us and bring all things to our remembrance, Father. Father God, we just thank you that you love us so much, Father God, that you gave your only begotten Son, Father, that whosoever shall believe it in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father God, we pray for those that are out there that don't know you, Father. We pray for those out there that's confused, Father God, and bewildered. We pray for those out there that's living only by their soul, Father, and their flesh. We pray for those out there, Father God, that believe the psychics and the mysteries and the turnings of the ocean, Father. We pray for them right now, Father. Father God, we pray for those, Father God, that have not had a chance to know about you, Father. Father God, we pray for those who are struggling to get closer to you. We're praying for those, Father, that's dealing with mental illness. We're praying for those, Father God, that's dealing with depression. We pray for those, Father God, that's dealing with anxiety. We pray for those, Father God, that's dealing with unforgiveness. We pray for those, Father God, that's dealing with sickness in their body, Father God. Father God, we pray for those that just don't have no peace, Lord Jesus. We pray for those, Father God, that's dealing with financial woes, Father God. Father God, we pray for those, Father God, who have lost communication with their families, Father God, that those relationships will be restored, Father God. Father God, we pray for those who have been church hurt, Father God, that you would turn them around and bring them back into fellowship, Father God. Father God, them knowing that it's not about the building, but it is about fellowshipping with other saints, Father God. It is about being around people that will pray for you. It's about being around people that will minister to you. Father God, we pray for those people right now. We bind the spirit of church hurt. We bind the spirit of offense right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for leadership, the bishops and the apostles and the preachers and the pastors and the prophets and the evangelists, Father God, and the ministers. We pray for them right now. We lift them up before you, Father God. Father God, we pray that you would minister to them, that you would strengthen them, Father God, so that they could do the work, Father God, that you have presented for them, Father God, that they will run the race in excellence, Lord, that they will be free from their dark souls, Father God, that they will be free from the flesh, Father God, that they will only operate in the spirit, Father God, that they will only speak the word of God, that they will only operate under the word of God. We thank you right now, Father God, for everything that you are doing. We see all the bad, negative things. We see all the bad things in this world, Father God. But we just thank you that we serve a God that's more than able. We thank you that we serve a God that has a plan. We thank you that we serve a God who's all-knowing. And we thank you, Father God, that we serve you because we already know who won in the end. So, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Oh, my soul. And I pray that it has blessed each and every one of you. You know that you can always, after about 15 minutes of the show ending, there is a link. So you can always play back if you just tuned in and you missed part of it. You can go to that link and it will take you back so you can replay. You can hear the whole message. Feel free to share these links. If you know somebody that's going through but you can't get them to sign in, you can't get them to listen in to the call, send them the link. Text them the link and just, you know, share. Just text them the link. Let them hear the, you know, the link. Sometimes people just, you know, they want to do things in their own time. And unfortunately, as part of the soul, you know, the soul said we make decisions and choices. And unfortunately, sometimes we make the choice that we don't want nobody telling us what to do. But a lot of times we know what we need to do. So just send them the link and let them listen to the link so it can bless their souls. Amen. Again, I want to thank each one of you for tuning in. I look forward to being with you on next Thursday. This year is going fast. We're already in October. Tomorrow is October the 1st, so we're already in October. It's a new month. We're getting close to the end of the year. I'm excited about 2022 and what it's going to bring. And I'm just going to tell everybody, be encouraged. Hold on to hope. Be encouraged. Hold on to hope. And hold on to faith. You know, the word of God tells us it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is hope. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So keep hoping. Keep hoping, keep praying, keep believing, and just keep trusting God. Amen. Love you all. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And I'll see you next Thursday. Good night.